Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, welcome to Big Jim's Garage. Big Jim O'Brien, your host here. A couple guests this morning. And coming up after you, Matt, I got Wolfgang Puck. How's that? God. Yeah, I know. We're going to talk about his first car, which is a Cadillac, I believe. He told us at the auto show a couple of years ago, but we'll go from Matt Yoakum to Wolfgang Puck. So we're covering everything this morning, bud.
Well, the thing about it is we both like food, and we both like tailgating. And although, his tailgate food might be a little bit different than mine.
And I've never heard you, like, calling, Chan van with the stroll under Kevin Harvick when he's driving the car, and he turns into Phoenix, and he throws it into turn three very nicely. And man, that was a fun...
Exactly.
That was a fun race yesterday, bud. But were any... Well, were you surprised by that? I mean, the way it came out with Kyle? Because I thought Harvick is normally... That's his track, isn't it?
Well, this is the thing, and I think if you go back and you look at the past couple of years, and, you know, and Harvick said it at the beginning of this year when we were going to Phoenix for the first time, which obviously he won, and that was off of drama and a penalty, and he padded the back window, because at that point in time, and this is the thing too, looking at the trends in the sport, a lot of teams were monkeying around with the back windows, with the bracing.
Yep.
You know, make the bracing as light as you can to where it'll bend but not break. And Harvick's actually went over that line and broke. And I think if you look at what teams were doing with the rear spoiler, and it wasn't, you know, just the four car, it was a number of teams that were doing it, you find something that your neighbor, because this is the thing, it's like having an all-star game, you know, like, 71 at Tiger Stadium. You're sitting there and you're looking over at Reggie Jackson. You're like, oh, man, look at his pine tar. Okay, he's inching it out a couple inches past the line of demarcation where you're not supposed to go. And you know what? No one's catching him. I've got to do that, too, because I've got to stay as competitive as Reggie, who then, you know, bounced one off the roof there.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's what you see in racing, and that's what happened to the four car. I think if you look at Sunday, and Harvick said it in the spring, the way things have changed in this sport, I can't bank on Phoenix being my moneymaker. And although it worked out well in the spring, and he won the pole in the fall, and he was running away with it until he had a tire go down, but I think that's the one thing about playoffs. And think back to, was it 07? I went to Yankee Stadium, actually, with Harvick, and we're like, all right, he's a Yankees fan, I'm a Tigers fan. If they meet in the playoffs, we're going to go. Well, they actually ended up meeting. So we flew up on his plane. I bought the tickets because I figured, hey, he's paying for jet fuel. That's got to be a whole lot more than tickets.
I would think so.
But We got a rain out. And we're like, oh, my God. And he's like, well, you know, do you want to go back home? I'm like, hey, man, it's your plane, whatever you want to do. And we're sitting there, and his wife was with us. And so we're sitting there like two little kids. She goes, all right, you dips. And that's not exactly totally what she called us. If you guys want to stay, we'll stay. So we had no clothes, no toiletries, no anything. And we, you know, ended up, you know, raiding the gift shop. And we go the next day, and the Tigers, they won in a picture-perfect old Yankee Stadium type day, which, of course, could not rival the old Tiger Stadium.
Correct.
That started really the role for the Tigers to go into the World Series. And then, of course, we got screwed because the Cardinals couldn't get their act together and win in any decent time. And we were on a layoff for a while. But I think you get on a roll. And that's what certain people have done. And that's why I think when you look at the playoffs, going into Homestead, the four best teams, as far as stats go, for the majority of the stats, are the four that are going to battle for the championship. So I think it's going to be a great weekend. Drama filled this past weekend. Oh my gosh. And you're sitting there watching it. Can you imagine? You've got Almirola, your teammate. What do you do? Do you rough him up a little bit or do you let him go? If he wins the race, you're out. He's
right.
In. And to me, that's what playoffs, and I don't care what sport you're talking about, that's what playoffs are all about, when you see people execute at their best.
Well, don't you think, Matt Yoakam's with, by the way, Matt also, now where you grew up here, where'd you grow up?
Well, I lived over in Jackson. I was born actually in a little town, but you got to go from Michigan into Ohio, back to Michigan, into Ohio, back to Michigan to get there. A little town called Morenci.
Okay.
So, a little farming community on the line. But, you know, grew up a Tigers fan, saw Mark the Bird Fidrich pitch a couple times.
Greatness.
And, and of course, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I've never really been a Lions fan.
Well, you ain't missing much. You're not missing much this year. Now, the Red Wings this year, I have a Red Wings analogy for NASCAR I want to get to in a second, but I wanted to talk about the race yesterday as well with Matt, at Matt Yoakam on Twitter. Of course, Fox, and you're one of the best, dude. And I'm not just saying that because you're on. You nail this stuff. We're going to come to a time, like other forms of sport, I'm a big Formula One guy as well, where you're going to have team orders decide somebody getting into the championship four. It's going to happen. It's got to happen with these multi-car teams. One way or another, it's going to happen. Am I crazy? I just feel like
I think that, you know, it's tough to if you're a team to say, okay, it's going to be like, all right, we know Michael Schumacher is the lead driver. You have to let him pass, and you know, you upset your teammate at Ferrari, which that actually happened. And then the guy made it obvious by completely. It was like he dropped the anchor.
Yeah.
And pulled all the way over to the side of the road to let Schumacher go. So that way it was totally obvious what had happened. But I think in NASCAR, when you look at, there's so much more involved as far as team sponsors and, you know, your own agenda, because, you know, a good portion of your contract is based on your performance. Not saying that that couldn't happen, but I think also you look at the big picture. And someone brought it up on a team radio, and I was already thinking it. And someone said, you know what? Kyle Busch would be smart to let Almirola go by, win the race, so that he has to compete against Almirola, which
not
the
18 Harvick.
Can surely handle, and not Harvick. So you're helping your own destiny by not winning. And I thought that would have been a stellar play if you look at the bigger picture, because now you've let Harvick back in the ball game, and this is a guy that is tough to beat on any Sunday, let alone in a pressure-packed situation like Championship Sunday.
So would NASCAR, if that had happened, would NASCAR have dropped the hammer on Kyle for doing that? Or could they?
Well, here's the deal. If that situation had happened, can you really prove it? And that's the thing. If you don't make a situation like that, which I think through the years you've had different people. I know, for instance, one crew chief. He knew at Michigan that his driver was going to run out of fuel. And he knew that they could not make it. He was going to be two laps short on their best figure. On the team radio, he kept encouraging his driver to not let up. And basically, the car that was leading the race ran out of fuel just as this driver ran out of fuel, because they were pushing Greg Biffle to stay at 10 tenths, keep in the gas, not conserve any fuel, so that way he would run out of fuel, and then Mark Martin ended up winning the race, their teammate.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's great strategy. It's a great chess match, and I think that's what makes our sport, auto racing, so exciting, because there's so many different variables, because there are so many different people that touch the car, not only on race day, but over the course of the weekend, and then
sure,
you throw in the strategy. So it's going to be an awesome Sunday in Homestead.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, ask that question. Kurt Busch. I'm a big Kurt Busch fan. Always have been. Just I like Kurt. We've known each other for years. He's my guy.
Now I got a question. Did you happen to have any kind of accident when you were a child, fall off the bike, hit your head?
What are you talking about? I like Kurt.
I'm just kidding.
He's a bad boy.
That photo
of him and Tony Stewart was a side of Kurt you don't see a lot. I mean, to see that was genuine raw emotion, I think, when he got hit. And Denny didn't mean it. It's one of those, you follow this, you know it. I mean, Matt, is one of those things where he just went up the track. I mean, there was nothing Denny could do about that.
It's just what they call racing. And
yeah,
the bad thing for Kurt Busch, he was, you know, collected in it, and there was nothing he could do, innocent victim, but he felt the ramification of it, because his day, his season was over, and he's going to be leaving Stuart Haas for Ganassi, although I don't know why they haven't announced it yet.
I don't know why either, why they're making it some big secret. Like, everybody knows this is going down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if it's just they're working on more sponsorship package for the overall picture, but to go back to your point, to me, I thought it was such a fantastic picture because it showed the raw emotion of give everything you got. And then when it's over, it's like taking a club to the leg and you're just sitting there.
Yeah.
The emotion's coming out. And I go back to it. I tweeted it. There was a picture back in 54 when Bill Vukovich Sr. won the Indianapolis 500. And he's sitting on a workbench in Gasoline Alley after the race, no shoes on. And he's just got his face in his hands because he's just so completely exhausted. And the emotion, the physical side of it. And to me, when you see that picture of Tony Stewart consoling Kurt Busch, that's two warriors that have been in battle that wear their emotions on their sleeve. And at the end of the day, when it all comes out, you're just like, you know, you can just feel, you know, exhaling of all that went on that day.
Absolutely. I was thinking about Denny Hamlin, too. And, you know, you always have the list of people that have never won a championship. You can go, you can say Junior Johnson. You can go back to Fireball Roberts. You can talk about Harry Gant. And, of course, Mark Martin is the top of all any list when it comes to championships. But looking back now, is the window closed for Denny? Is he going to be – is he this generation's Mark Martin?
I think when you look at any driver, you only have – you know, your shelf life is one big number. Your opportunity for a championship is another. And you only have those opportunities come along where you go, okay, realistically, he has a great shot. And Denny Hamlin twice has had that opportunity and twice has let it slip away.
Yeah.
He went into Homestead as the championship leader and spun by himself and took himself out. And then he had another opportunity where he had a chance to walk away with the championship and let that opportunity get away as well. I mean, look, realistically, I think if you're looking at Denny Hamlin in 2019, when Martin Truex Jr. joins that stable, if I'm in that organization, I'm thinking of Denny Hamlin as my fourth driver.
Exactly. I mean,
because I really think Kyle Busch and Truex, they're like 1-1A. And then Erik Jones, who I think has, Michigander.
Yep.
Fantastic kid. Totally bright future. I think he's your number three guy. And then I think Hamlin, there just seems to be something about Hamlin and that team that it's like things go great. All of a sudden that productivity starts to go down a little bit. Oh, time for a crew chief change. Start winning races. Darian Grubb, things are looking great. Starts to go down. We got to make a crew chief change. Bring in Mike Wheeler. Wins the Daytona 500 from the get-go. Things are looking great. And now all of a sudden we're in that window where are they going to say, look, enough's enough. You know, you've gone through a bunch of – I mean, Dale Jarrett went through a ton of crew chiefs on the back half of his career. And maybe we're starting to see that with Denny Hamlin. I don't know, but I feel like, though, he's number four at Gibbs.
You're right. It's and when you're talking about drivers and the way the pecking order, to me, it's interesting. I'll give this analogy for if you're listening to this podcast right now, this conversation, and you're not from Detroit or a hockey fan, the Detroit Red Wings are obviously historic and, you know, in sports in general. But this team is really young and they're fun to watch because you just they've won a couple games in a row and they just are out there like on the ragged edge the whole time. You never know what to expect. When I watch the Red Wings, I keep thinking about Larson. Larson is my – I love watching Kyle Larson. I'm a Kurt fan. I said that. I will pay money to watch Kyle Larson race because I never know what the hell he's going to do. But he is like the Max Verstappen of NASCAR to me. The kid's got more talent. He's just got to get it all put together.
Well, I think if you look at Larson, the organization is a B-level team. And a lot, I think, has to happen for them to become an A-level team. I think part of that is financial. Because if you look at Stuart Haas, you know, Gene has more money than he could ever burn, you know, in his backyard fire pit his entire life. The F1 team, yeah, I mean, the man builds more CNC machines than anybody in the entire world by going F1 racing. It pays for his F1 program because of all the markets that he's now into over in Europe. I think if you look at Kyle Larson, you put him in a Stuart Haas car or a Gibbs car, which he's had the opportunity to go there, but he chose not to. The reason being, he feels like Chip is a racer, and Chip likes the fact that he goes and runs the Knoxville Nationals and gets back with, you know, 3 hours sleep and runs the cup race the next day. Chip's, you know, I mean, he tweets it. I like racers. And I think he fits into that culture better. I think he would have more wins if he went somewhere else and possibly a better shot at the championship. But I agree with you. You know, I have the hockey package and I watch the Red Wings and I watch the Tigers with the MLB package. And I feel like there's something going on with the Red Wings, and you touched on it. They're starting to be fun to watch again.
Yeah.
And, you know, with all the rumors about, you know, Stevie Y coming back home again and joining the family again in a year, I think things are starting to head back in that right direction when we got Scotty Bowman. And it just started to build that tradition of winning again. And, you know, how they execute. And I feel like that is, we're right on the edge of that with the Red Wings. And I think you're right. I think Larson, you know, things could really take a jump up. They had the Camaro this year, brand new car. And I feel like everybody, and they were one of the last teams to get the OSS, which some fans are like, okay, what's the OSS? And that's the new digital system that NASCAR uses to check all the different measurements of the car to make sure it's, you know, within tolerance. And they were one of the last teams to buy one. And Hendrick was as well. And I think that's why you saw those teams kind of come on in the second half of the year.
It's, you're talking about owners here, and that's what I was going to get to. Matt Yocum with us, by the way. I'm Matt Yocum on Twitter. And, of course, I know you're going to do a show later on today. You and Harvick, right? I would assume you and Kevin doing your Monday show?
We're going to do our Monday show at 1 o'clock.
Yep.
On SiriusXM.
It's a great show, dude.
I'm telling you, I thank you. I appreciate that. You know, we have a lot of fun with it. We actually do it from his pool house.
That's so
and
cool.
So, you know, we'll go, you know, we keep talking about, all right, we need to do it out by the pool. So, you know, you can hear the kids cannonballing into the pool.
That you should. Kind of
stuff. You know, I'm thinking if we come back and do the show again next year, that's something that we're going to have to put on the to-do list.
Well, tell him if he wants to come up for a Red Wings game, we can work that out too. He can come on up here.
See, of course, I would have to come along with him to make sure he knew, you know, the right place to go to. I didn't go to a Red Wings game last year, but in the new arena.
You gotta see it.
I'm trying to think, where did we used to go to get the White Russians? Was that Dino's?
Yeah, we can go to Dino's. I'm not afraid.
Yeah.
I don't smell any fear in here, Matt. We can do this. We can get this done, man. We'll take them. Hey, real quick, I wanted to mention the owner thing because you had brought this up, but before I forget this, because I will. One of the things to me is, like, everyone talks about the cost of running a NASCAR team and you know, the cost of getting a team. And I'm like, on some level, didn't the owners just do this to themselves by not checking each other with cost? I mean, it's the whole USFL thing with no salary cap again, isn't it?
Totally agree. I think if you look at the owners, they complain about the cost. I was talking to one team president back in August, and I made a comment about the pit guns and my thoughts on it. And, like, he jumped up out of his chair. He's like, I'll tell you right now, you know, we don't need to be paying $200,000 for a tire changer because he's got fast hands and blah, blah, blah. You know, we need to be putting that money on the car. And I'm like, that's a part of the sport. And the bottom line is, just because you're not going to pay that, Joe Gibbs Racing is, and they've already picked up a couple free agents for next year that are going to be leaving some of the big high priced teams, you know, the top, you know, eight, you know, I always say like the big three or four teams, they're going to be going to Joe Gibbs Racing. And so it's the free market. And the bottom line is, you've got, I think you can't put a template on, this is what we're going to pay for the human capital of our program. I think you've got to try to save money on the harder technology side of things. And they spend so much money on simulation because they did away with the testing program. So all they're doing is just shuffling money from one area to the other. And it's just like the pit gun deal. Oh, it's going to save us so much money. It doesn't. It's actually costing them more. But what they're doing is, they feel like the teams on the RTA voted against it, voted against keeping the old gun because it would harm Stuart Haas and Joe Gibbs Racing more. It would close that competition gap. So they're just shuffling money from one side of the program to another to try to level out the playing field. But I think if you could sit there and maybe go a day less at the racetrack, maybe go, and they're going in the right direction, you know, Jim, with the whole engine program,
exactly,
where you're going to reuse a part of, I think you need to do more of that, and I think that's where you're going to see some big gains as far as saving money.
They got to do it. They got to do something to help these guys out because, you know, it's cost for any sport, but especially in racing, too. And it's funny, like the old days, I've always, like, I remember I read Waltrip's book. I love stories about Jake Elder. I could talk about Jake Elder all day. I am just infatuated with that guy. That, is, to me, is the quintessential NASCAR crew chief. The way he would, I always hear the stories. What was the one story, Matt? Like, he would lay on one of the rollers and slide himself underneath all the cars in the garage so he could look and see what they were doing until somebody caught him.
Oh, yeah, and there's so much stuff that would happen back in the day. And he was one of those characters, Suitcase Jake Elder, because he would always, you know, move from one team to another. He wouldn't stay at any one place very long. But there's so many great stories like that. And I feel like the fun in NASCAR is starting to come back. And I, you know, it just, maybe we just got to a certain place where so much stress to compete and execute. But I feel like, you know, we're starting to see that fun factor come back. And, you know, and I think in general racing is starting to come back. You're seeing so much emphasis put on grassroots.
Yeah.
You know, you're hearing places more like Toledo, Flat Rock. And that's what we need to, because look, the big leagues need the grassroots short tracks, just like the grassroots short tracks need the big leagues. And we're all in this together. And I think you're seeing everybody get on the same page. And it's not that competition of, oh, I'm an IndyCar fan, so I can't like NASCAR. I think if you're a fan of racing, you're a fan of racing.
Amen. And F's, you know, I went to the Indy 500 and had a blast. I mean, it was the first time I took mm-hmm. my son down there, and my next road trip is Daytona, heading down there. But we go to MIS. I've been to, you know, the tracks and stuff. Racing's racing. It's fun to watch. I watch Formula One, although it's only four cars that can win, but that's another story. Great racing is great racing. I really wish FCA would get off their ass and get back into NASCAR. They had the car. That broke my heart, that whole thing, when that all went down with Penske and you know, with Dodge at the time. But you think about it, I think their passion, what they build with their brand, would be perfect in NASCAR right now.
I think you could sit there and build a Jeep to run in the truck series. I think there's so much to be said for when you say the big three. I feel like that, you know, Fiat, Dodge, they need to be involved. They've got to have a Chrysler brand in the sport
somewhere. Yeah.
To me, somewhere it needs to be. And I think it'd be great for them. It would feel like they're coming home again, and it would be perfect for racing because they need another manufacturer. They've got three. They really need to have four, maybe even five. And that's where I think you would see the racing even ramp up even more with excitement, having more folks, you know, at the table. When you go to IMSA races, I mean, they've got 14 to 17 OEMs involved at different levels.
Oh, it's beautiful. You know, at Belle Isle, when they race here, Matt, yeah. That's one of the best races of the weekend, because you're right. You're sitting there, you're like, it's a parade of race cars. It's stunning to watch them all go.
So, question for you. You mentioned Daytona. Are you going to come down to the 500 this year?
Yes, I am. I've got four races in my life on my bucket list. I've knocked off Indy. I'm going to Daytona, and then I'm going to 24 Hours of Le Mans. That'll be I can knock out three of them in 3 years. So,
see, yep. You also need to add Monaco. I hear Monaco. I've never been. That's on my bucket list too.
Dude, I live in Waterford, Michigan. Monaco for me is going to Birmingham on a Friday night. It's all relative, man. You know, I take my Ram truck and cruise down there, and they're like, "Yeah, you can't stay here for long. You don't belong." So.
Well, if you're gonna come to Daytona this year, you gotta give me a heads up.
Oh, I will.
And I'll have you a list of places that you need to go. That, you know, I think you would be, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, hey, look, you need to go this place for the oysters. You need to go this place, you know, for this or that.
Which place, man, has the coleslaw wrestling? Is that separate? Or?
Well, this is the deal. It's early in the morning. It's Veterans Day. A lot of kids are not in school today. I know mine isn't. So we'll have to save that for Big Jim After Dark.
Okay, good. Yeah, there you go. The new thing, man. Matt Yoakam, at Matt Yoakam on Twitter, of course, and mattyoakam.com, right, for the website?
Yep.
Okay, got it there, man. Okay, so bottom line, go ahead.
I gotta ask you this.
Sure.
All right, so it's 9:40 on Monday.
Yeah.
And I know you probably want me to make my pick for this coming Sunday.
Well, I think I know who you're gonna pick, but yeah, you gotta make your pick.
Okay, my two people that I'm picking that I think it will come down to will be Joey Logano and Kevin Harvick.
I agree with you. And I'm not just saying that. That's what I have written down here. I honestly think it's going to be those two.
See, great minds think alike.
Yeah, you're a great mind. I'm just following along. I'm riding along here. Although, what are the odds Truex, if he's a lap down, just turns right and takes out Logano?
You know, I think if he wants a vacation for February, that would be a great move. I hear the Bahamas are nice that time of year.
There's going to be so much drama in this, too. There's so much going on in this one. It's this is going to be – and my last thing, too, I still think – and I still think they should end the season at Daytona. I don't know why they use Homestead for that. I don't understand.
Well, this is what I think, too. I agree with you on that thought. But the one thing that I would hate to have happen, and we touched on it earlier, having a teammate decide a championship. And I love the fact that – Homestead is great. Number one, you can go out and get great seafood at night. But I think Homestead is great racing. To me, I think Phoenix really upped their game by all the money that was spent to upgrade that facility. If you look at what ISC is doing, you know, Richmond, they're doing tons of stuff there. They just completed ISM Speedway in Phoenix. They're doing Talladega. They've already done Daytona. In ISC, which the France family owns majority of, and they're trying to buy back all the stock. They have really put their money on the table and said, we're going after the fan. We're going to try to make that fan experience better. I think that opens up the question of, do we rotate that season finale?
You should.
You know, we see it so often with the Super Bowl, people throwing up money. Hey, we want you to come here. We're going to do Fan Fest. We're going to do all this. So I think that that's going to be the next thing you're going to hear topic-wise of when it comes to the season finale, do we rotate?
Could you imagine a season finale at Darlington?
Oh, boy.
Oh,
can you imagine a season finale at Bristol?
Oh, my God. See, there you go. We're just talking about it. We're getting pumped up, and that's the point of it. That would be cartoonish, but it'd be awesome. Matt, man, I'm so glad we got time to do this. I know you're busy in this as we get ready to the end of the season here, bud, but you're the best, man. Thanks for listening to the show, too. I appreciate you, man.
Oh, man, I love you guys. I love what you do for the car culture and the sports culture up in Detroit. One question, though, are we going to do this again next Monday to talk about if we were right or wrong?
Can we?
Away with the championship?
Can we do it again?
Well, I'll tell you what. I dropped my daughter off at school, so I can be back by 8:30. So
done.
I say let's go ahead and do it.
Done. Put in the books. Matt Yoakum, man, you're the man. Thank you, buddy.
See you guys.
All right, we'll talk soon.
All right, thanks, bud.
All right, there he goes. Matt Yoakum, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we move on. Second part of Big Jim's Garage. How cool was that?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Got him? Oh, Wolfgang Puck, check this out. Ladies and gentlemen, the man who drove a 1974 Cadillac, is that right, Wolfgang Puck?
But now I have a new one, an Escalade.
Look at you. I mean, because I remember it was probably like 4 or 5 years ago. You were here at the auto show, and you told everybody you had, I think it was a 74 DeVille. It was your first car.
Yeah, my first car. You're right.
Isn't it funny the things that we remember? I remember years ago before I moved here to the Motor City, I worked in Orlando. And I was there when you opened your restaurant in Downtown Disney, and I watched you.
Downtown Disney, yeah. We are opening a new one in 10 days.
That's Cut, right? That's what you're opening. Quick.
Cut is in New York.
Cut is in New York. Okay.
Yeah, and then in Orlando, it's a Wolfgang Puck Bungalow.
You stopped everybody in the midst of this insanity of opening a restaurant and served up goulash. I will always remember that.
That's funny.
I looked around. I go, how do they have time for this? And I don't remember. One of the managers goes, you have to take time to slow down and appreciate what you're doing. And it was amazing. And I've been a fan of that ever since.
Oh, thank you, yeah. And, you know, we have a restaurant in your city, too, at the MGM Grand there.
Yes, you do, and it's fine food. And Wolfgang Puck is our guest, obviously, wolfgangpuck.com, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And I love your masterclass stuff. I bought myself a smoker, Wolfgang, and I've decided that I'm going to be a better cook this year. But that means in the kitchen as well, not just using a smoker. And what you do with these masterclasses is fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, when I started a master class, that was about a year ago or whenever, And, you know, for me, it's really important to empower the people at home, you know, to make food a little faster, maybe make it better, make it more fun in the kitchen. And I think that's an important part of our life, you know. I always say families who cook together stay together. And it's really true that once or twice a week, if you have a family, everybody's in the kitchen, everybody does a little chore. And then the kids and everybody likes it much more. They were part of the process.
Well, that's, you know, I was reading something recently that processed food or processed cheese, excuse me, is going down in sales numbers because people are making a choice for healthier choices of cheese. They're getting real cheese and real food. And I'm finding through folks like you as inspiration, it's not as hard as you think to get in the kitchen and do something that's real.
Exactly.
And not processed.
I think,
yeah.
How many people, like if you wander through the grocery stores, how many things you see vegetables in cans? And, you know, in the summer, we can go to a farmer's market. We can go to the produce department and just steam some broccoli or some beans or some carrots. Maybe put a little touch of butter or olive oil on top, a little salt, and you have great-tasting vegetables. So it's so simple. You don't have to be a chef to do that, you know?
Do you think we just... go ahead.
So it's the same thing as with fruits, you know? If the apples are in season, you don't have to make maybe an apple strudel where you make the dough and you stretch it and everything. But you can buy some phyllo dough and do the same thing and make an apple strudel. Or do you make your traditional apple pie or things like that, or an apple tart. So I think you can do things. You just have to follow the recipe for the first and second time. And then all of a sudden you get the knack of it and you will be able to have great results.
I've always heard the saying that cooking is an art form, baking is science. Is that fair?
Well, that's fair to a certain extent because everything is a science, really. Life is a science. So when you cook to make a steak perfectly medium rare, it might be like a science because you have to cook the meat the right way. The same thing is with baking, except, you know, baking, once you mix the ingredients together, then you have to leave them, bake them, whatever you do. It's a very exacting process. Now, in cooking, especially if you know about cooking, you always can add a little touch of cream, a little touch of stock, a little bit more carrots, a little bit more celery, whatever it is, and you can play with that much more. So it's not an exact science, like pastry is very exacting.
Do you find, too, I mean, our Wolfgang Puck's our guest, by the way, and you always have something going on. Is there ever a day where you just, like, you get up in the morning going, I have nothing to do?
Yeah, no, that, I don't think I would like that. You know, I'm working since I'm 14 years old, and my wife always tells me, I said, why you have always to do something? You cannot sit still and just relax and enjoy the day. And, you know, sometimes I just get so tired. Like, I came back from Dallas on Saturday, and I said, why I'm so tired? But then I keep on going. I called my tennis coach. We played for an hour of tennis and everything. So, and the same thing is like this weekend. I'm going to the Pogada in Atlantic City. I'm leaving really with a 6 o'clock flight for Philadelphia. And then I'm coming back with a 7 o'clock flight on Saturday back to L.A. So it's really like I think when I think about my life, about something is, if I go, let's say, to Atlantic City, to the Pogada, I should stay an extra day and just relax. But I never do that. I don't know if I'm going to learn how to do that. The only time I'm doing that is like in the winter time, like over the holidays, I go skiing up to Beaver Creek. And there I really don't do much except ski a few hours, 4 or 5 hours a day. And the rest I have lunch, I relax at night. So that's a good relaxing time. But
good.
I still do something. Skiing is like doing something, you know. I'm not sitting.
Oh, I'm a big believer. You've got to get up. Every human being, you've got to get up in the morning with a purpose to your day or you're going to be miserable. You're going to be miserable if you don't have something to look forward to during the course of those 24
exactly.
hours.
Yeah.
So now when
when
you're opening a new restaurant, like you've got Cut in New York and you got your restaurant open in Orlando, and of course you got Wolfgang Puck Steak here at MGM, when you're opening new restaurants, is it incumbent on you to change the template a little bit for each one, or do you find something that works and you want to stick with it?
Totally local, you know. So I just talked with, we're going to open a Cut in Washington, D.C., in Georgetown. And I told Andrew, who is the chef there, I said, you go around. Obviously, It's easy with the Chesapeake Bay to find the best oysters, to find great seafood and everything. And then I told him, you go to Virginia, I'm sure there are farmers who raise cattle, who raise lamb or pork, and get local ingredients and obviously local vegetables and stuff like that. So we want to be really in touch with our environment where we are. So that depends really a lot on what we put on the menu. We don't just want to have food flown in from all over the world. No, we want to have people around, even alcohol. I know there are some distilleries around where they make gin, where they make vodka and everything. So we use the local ingredients.
That's what it's all about. Wolfgang Puck with us again, wolfgangpuck.com, themasterclass.com. The restaurant's opening, of course, here in Detroit at MGM. MGM Grand, to go to Wolfgang Puck Steak. I know we only got a couple minutes with you, Wolfgang. Quick question. Yeah. I'm always interested in, like, food trends. Now, it seemed like you could turn around and you would find five Thai restaurants. You know what I mean? Everybody opened a Thai restaurant. Is in your vision, what's coming down the road? Are we getting back to the steakhouses and the more traditional dinners? When you go to dine out, you want maybe a little more of an experience?
You know what? Life is really a complex thing. So part of it is tradition, part of it is modernism and evolution. So for me, if you tell me what is our trend, you know, is we keep some of our guests' favorite on the menu, but we change the menu all the time because we don't want people to get bored. Now, obviously, ethnic food has become really popular. I think Korean food is already popular. I predict that the next big thing is going to be Filipino and Vietnamese food.
Oh, I was in the Navy for 9 years. We had a Filipino cook, and it was some of the best stuff. It was some of the best food. Oh, can't wait. All right. Well, Wolfgang, you're the best. I will definitely head back down to Wolfgang Puck's Steak. I'll drop your name for our anniversary when we go down there later this month, my wife.
Absolutely. You go down there. Tell them I sent you, and if they are not doing the best job ever, I will come myself.
I know you will. Now, Wolfgang Puck, it's always a pleasure talking to you. God bless you in everything you do.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.